Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Stephanie Kelton, who's a professor of economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. She served as chief economist on the United States Senate Banking Committee, Budget Committee in 2015, and then became an economic advisor to Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. She's the author of The State, the Market, and the Euro, and has an article at the Real World Economics Review, Can Trumponomics Extend the Recovery? Welcome to Background Briefing, Stephanie Kelton.
Thanks for having me.
And the quarterly GDP report is pretty anemic, growth of 0.7%. But of course, you wouldn't know that from the rally yesterday that Trump held in Pennsylvania, where he once again blamed Obama and talked about what this incredible mess that he inherited. I mean, talk about an alternative universe. Obama inherited probably the greatest economic mess since FDR inherited the Great Depression. I mean, that's just inescapably true, is it not?
Yeah, it definitely is true. At the time President Obama took the oath of office, the U.S. was entering the, as you say, the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, and we were losing on the order of 800,000 jobs every month in this country. So, yes, President Obama inherited a catastrophe. Donald Trump maybe inherited an economy that has been growing since the summer of 2009, but probably, you know, fair to say that it was not a robust economic recovery by any stretch of the imagination. The recovery has been, while economists call it a recovery, it's been fairly lackluster, and things may have been slowing down as Donald Trump came into office. So he didn't inherit anything like what President Obama inherited, but it may be fair to say that he inherited a slowing economy.
Well, there have been arguments, of course, that when Obama took over, he could have acted more boldly. He could have got a bigger stimulus package. But it's worth noting that the Republicans did not vote. None of them voted for the stimulus to recover, to allow the economy to recover and to invest in recovery. And they fought him every inch of the way. It's pretty extraordinary, don't you think, Stephanie Kelton, to look at what's happening now, where the obstructionists, the Republicans, who thwarted Obama at every turn to try and improve the economy, now have an opportunity to do something, and they can't agree on anything.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to watch. You're right. The economic recovery was at least in part due to the fact that the Democrats passed a fairly large, but I think most economists, certainly those on the left, would argue it was not big enough, but the numbers looked fairly large to most people, $787 billion stimulus under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. That was done, as you said, without any Republican votes. And now that Republicans are in control of both houses and the White House, and they could theoretically run the table, they haven't been able to deliver any real legislative victories at all for this president.
And again, I'm speaking with Stephanie Kelton, who's professor of economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. She served as chief economist on the United States Senate Budget Committee and then became an economic advisor to Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign, is the author of The State, the Market, and the Euro, and has an article at Real World Economics Review, Can Trumponomics Extend the Recovery? Let's talk about Trumponomics. I mean, for God's sake, Trumponomics comes down to a one page that was waved in front of the cameras a couple of days ago by the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Gary Cohn from Goldman Sachs, the budget director. That, I think, by any standards, was a kind of an insult, wasn't it, to the intelligence of everybody, not to mention every economist on the planet?
It was pretty shocking. As an economist, that was a pretty remarkable thing to release, for sure. You know, that isn't the whole. It certainly isn't intended to be the whole of Trumponomics. Trumponomics, I guess, is supposed to be the entire legislative agenda, all of the economic programs, including what he wants to do on the tax side, but also what he wanted to do on the spending side. And so really it should have included, if you want to talk about Trumponomics and what it is that this president thinks that he can accomplish in terms of boosting economic growth and creating millions of jobs and so forth, you have to, I think, include the infrastructure piece. He told us that he was going to do $1 trillion of infrastructure investment. He talked about trade, bringing back jobs to America. And, you know, we had talk of this border adjustment tax. They were supposed to repeal and replace Obamacare. And so I would wrap my arms around all of the agenda and call that, you know, the Trumponomics. But you're right. I mean, on the tax piece, it was to say that it was a very broad brush paint job is to understate exactly what was released. It was a memo that you might circulate within the administration as just a starting point for discussion, not nearly the kind of thing that one would expect an administration to go public with as the cornerstone of the tax agenda going forward.
So let's talk about Trumponomics and why you think let's start with that. Can it extend the recovery or not? I mean, I suspect the answer is the latter.
Well, actually, in this piece that I wrote for Real World Economic Review, I took a different position than I think a lot of economists, certainly those on the left, the Paul Krugmans and the Larry Summers and so forth. Most of them have decided that Trumponomics is just this doomed to fail. It can't possibly deliver on any of its stated objectives, where those stated objectives are, you know, high levels of economic growth, essentially a doubling of the types of growth rates that the U.S. economy has achieved over the course of the last 7 years or so. And so if we're muddling through with about 2% GDP growth per year, Donald Trump says he wants to do much better than that, say 3.5%, 4% growth. And most of the economists on the left don't think he can pull it off. And what I argued in this recent piece is that I think that that's a mistake to assume that the kinds of things that he's talking about, everything from, you know, deregulation to these massive tax cuts, the infrastructure investment, I think that it can generate significantly higher growth in the near term. And even Goldman Sachs, who's taken a look at this in Moody's Analytics, can say, look, it's possible that these are the kinds of things that can boost short-term economic growth. But they're not going to produce the kind of robust, sustained economic growth for the economy going forward. What they can do is juice the economy as people take advantage of, you know, these repatriation, allowing corporations to bring profits that are being held offshore back at very low tax rates. And the expectation is, well, the way that Trump says it is that if you allow them to do this, they're going to invest and create all kinds of jobs in the real economy. Most people don't believe that. They understand that what these firms are likely to do is to bring these dollars back and then do what? Well, pay dividends or share buybacks. You know, they're going to boost equity prices. So the stock market's going to boom. Now, that's the kind of thing that when you get a bubbling up of the stock market or real estate markets or whatever, you can get rapidly increased economic activity. We saw that with the subprime mortgage crisis. We saw that in the Clinton years in the late 90s and early 2000s. You know, you can have a burst of economic activity. And so what I'm saying is this is not a smart way to grow the economy, but it is possible that some of the things he's talking about doing, if he's successful in getting them done, could produce what I would call an artificial economic boom, which creates, you know, rapidly increased growth, more jobs, and on the surface, for a time, it's going to look like a better economy before things begin to unwind. And that's what happens when stock markets crash or when you deregulate industries like Wall Street, and then we allow them to go out and behave badly for a while. And that, you know, includes things like what happened in the subprime mortgage industry. And you can get lots of things happening that cause spending to increase and boost the economy, but then it doesn't end well.
Well, there are ticking time bombs out there, like subprime auto loans, for example. But
auto loans, student debt, yeah.
Student debt, right. So, but just in general, though, I get the impression that Trump operates on government by stunt, And by photo op. For example, his foreign policy of late has been to distract people from the Russian inquiry by throwing cruise missiles at Syria, dropping a big bomb in Afghanistan, and threatening war with North Korea. And in terms of the economy, if indeed there is this, what you've described still sounds like a bit of a stunt with the short-term growth because of these maneuvers that he's planning. But what about the extraordinary tax cuts, the idea of pass-through companies where the IRS simply won't be collecting revenues? And I don't see, when will that all kick in? In other words, when will the deficit explode if you to take that one page that Mnuchin and Cohen waved at the press the other day? Seriously.
Well, the deficit may well explode, but I don't think that that's the way that we ought to be critiquing the Trump agenda. The problem isn't that it's so-called budget busting. The problem is that it will bust the Gini coefficient, which is a measure that economists use and rely on to measure the degree of inequality, income and wealth inequality in a country. So I'm far less concerned about the budgetary effects of what Donald Trump is talking about doing. We could talk about an economic agenda, a very progressive economic agenda that may well increase budget deficits, but I would be perfectly happy with that if the result of the increase in the deficit was that we were doing more to invest in infrastructure and education and R&D, and that we were lifting people from the bottom, that we were pulling millions of children out of poverty, that we were addressing joblessness, that we were addressing climate and other sorts of things. So I'm far less concerned with what Trump's economic policies, the impact of those policies on the budget deficit. In a sense, I'd say, who cares? Right. It's far more important to say, how are they going to affect the real economy? Who wins from those increased budget deficits? Remember that Reagan blew up the debt and the deficit, nearly tripled the national debt, building up military spending, right? And these huge tax cuts and so forth. And we had rapid economic growth during the recovery phase of the business cycle under Reagan, and he was reelected in a landslide, right?
I know. Well, let's not end on the nightmare notion that Trump is going to get reelected. I thank you very much for joining us, Stephanie Kelton.
You're very welcome.
And again, I've been speaking with Stephanie Kelton, who's a professor of economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. She served as chief economist on the United States Senate Banking Committee and became economic advisor to Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. And she has an article at the Real World Economics Review, Can Trumponomics Extend the Recovery? This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time was